Mangan, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 in Vancouver and surrounding university area. They want to be loved by robots, need love
too. They want to be loved by you. Sexy in Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend this hour with us, we are very, 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 very glad to have you. So tonight, we are going to be talking about just how challenging it can be sometimes in terms of being a teen, being a tween, and all that's in between. And as a parent to those teens and tweens and all that's in between, it can be very, very challenging. And parenting is definitely a leadership journey. And I'm very excited because the two ladies who have created Parenting as Leadership Journey are going to be on with me tonight. I've got Laura Mack from Odyssey Leadership, and I've got child and family therapist Allison Jones. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Caroline.
I'm excited to have you two on the show.
We're excited as well.
One of the things we had talked about in our pre-interview, and I think this is particularly timely, is the fact that, Allison, I believe you'd mentioned it when we were chatting on Friday, about the fact that in this era, it's one of the first times in history, if I remember correctly, you were saying that our kids, because they're digital, they're our children, they are in a leadership position I should let you say it because you're going to say it a lot better than I am.
Right. Yeah. I was saying that it's probably one of the first times ever in kind of recorded history that we have the younger generation is actually leading us, and not just leading us in something, you know, cultural or whatnot, but something that we're actually dependent upon in our society. And our younger generation is actually they're at the forefront of the technology, and this is impacting us because we've always been able to kind of lead them, and now they have more information than we do in a lot of these areas.
Which makes it difficult in terms of leadership. So I'm really glad the two of you guys are together and making a difference.
Well, we're hoping to and trying to, that's for sure.
So how did you come up with the concept? I don't know if I should direct this to Laura first, or in terms of, because Laura, you're amazing in terms of leadership because you do so much great work with Odyssey
Thank
Leadership.
You.
You're welcome, and I've had the pleasure of working with you myself. So I know you are absolutely wonderful to work with, and I was really excited when I got to see it on Facebook, as we get to see so many wonderful things that you...
You were our first Facebook fan, Caroline. You're an early adopter.
I like news. And it's exciting. So when I saw that, I was like, this is really cool. And I've got so many friends who have tweens and teens. Actually, just before, we had a board meeting for Beauty Night tonight, and on my way here, one of them was mentioning just that their grade sixer had actually had a birthday party, and she walked in, they were playing Spin the Bottle, and he'd invited a whole bunch of grade 7 girls over.
Yeah, well, that's certainly nothing new.
That's right.
I never got to go to those parties.
Somehow
as a kid.
I kind of remember something like that happening that I was at maybe, 40 years ago?
Yeah, just a little while ago.
I guess there's the geeky one. I never got to experience that.
Anyway, to address your question, Caroline, I love how serendipitously Allison and I were connected and found one another. You know, I think the universe truly conspired to bring us together because, as you know, Caroline, my background is I'm a business and leadership consultant. And over the past year and a half, I have been bringing authentic leadership circles into the nonprofit and corporate community. And the topics with that are really about the inner journey of leadership. And the more I started to facilitate these topics, the more I realized in my own parenting journey how much relevance there was. And so because we were dealing with some issues in our community that I thought would really, the parents would benefit in coming together and talking about them. And so I started to infuse some of the techniques that I was using in my other leadership circles into some of these parenting dialogues.
And what did you find?
And as I shared that with one of the moms in my community, she got really excited about it. And she actually introduced me to Allison, not specifically because of that. Allison and I were introduced because the woman who introduced us thought we would have some business things in common. And as we started talking a little bit about more about, you know, like women do when they meet one another in business, so what else do you do?
Right? You're both parents.
Exactly. We're both parents, and I have a 14-and-a-half-year-old, and Allison will tell you a little bit more about her family structure, but she's raising twins.
That's right.
And so we started talking about our passions around, you know, parenting and leadership, and, you know, before we knew it, we were deep into this conversation about parenting as a leadership journey and really celebrating that, you know, wow, I finally found someone else who's using this language and this phrase, and so that evolved to me inviting Allison to participate in my blog, and I'll turn it over to Allison because then she can share with you her perspective on how that's been evolving.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was interesting because I'm a child and family therapist and, of course, a parent as well. I'm a parent to 11-year-old twins, a boy and a girl, and as my friends say, my own little twin study. I've been encouraging and working with parents and trying to get them back into a leadership role. It's one of the areas I've seen parents of our generation really struggling with is how do we encourage our child's autonomy, but still lead them, and still lead them in a way that's respectful, but strong and firm. And it's been one of the things I think, like, my generation of parents has really been struggling with. So it's, I feel a lot of the work that I've been doing has been trying to get people back into that leadership role and be able to do that in a way that's balanced with respect and dignity for everybody involved. So when Laura and I crossed paths and we were talking and she was assisting me with some of my business development, and I run a counseling clinic on the North Shore, Allison Jones and Associates, and was looking for some ideas around that from Laura, and then we started talking and we both used this phrase, parents as leaders and on a leadership journey, and it was just like sparks and magic because it's been my thing I've been passionate about, and find somebody else with that leadership understanding. And it was just right from there, it was, you know, a shared passion and excitement.
That's so awesome. Mm-hmm. It really is. And I like how you're mentioning in terms of with the generation about leadership and coming back to that. And I just wanted to just check in. And is there a difference in terms of leadership from each different generations? I know Peter Brinkerhoff, who I'm a huge fan of with the mission-based leadership, or mission-based management rather, usually mentions in terms of there's just the different generations. And do you find there is a difference from, say, baby boomers to Generation Xers as parents, to the, your silent generation?
There's a big difference, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, and a lot of people a lot of parents are trying to raise their children in a very child-centered way, but to the point where they've lost their role, right? And in fact, for children to really be secure, they need the hub of the house to be parent-centered, not child-centered. And you see, what happened is, in past generations, it was parent-centered, but it done in a way that maybe didn't feel that it had that equal respect, right? And now this generation and the younger generations have got that confused with respect, with, you know, equal say, equal power, right? Mm. Like, you can have a respectful environment where everybody's treated with dignity, but we still know who is in which roles, right?
Yes.
You know, as opposed to the children leading in a home, the parents need to be leading, because that, when the parents are doing their job and they're leading, and the anxiety of the children is down. But when the parents aren't doing their job, the anxiety of the children is up.
That makes a lot of sense.
And our number one mental health issue for children right now, children and adolescents, in particular females, but is anxiety.
Really?
That's the number one, right? And that's where I strongly believe that we need to get back in that role of leadership,
mm-hmm.
and do it in a way that, you know, has unconditional love and mutual respect, and also helps our children focusing on how to think and how to learn through their experiences.
Why do you think we fell out of those roles that we had?
I think it was a reaction. I think a lot of people felt maybe suppressed. They felt that they weren't heard and understood. They felt that maybe the parents in that generation were doing their job, but they weren't understanding and getting us. And so then a lot of people felt, well, I want to understand and get my children. I want my children to be able to communicate with me. So it's balancing that. How do I help that child feel understood, as well as how do I effectively, you know, lead them? Again, it's the duality of how do I set the limits and let them know that they're understood and I get who they are as well at the same time. And that's a tough order sometimes.
And we take a look at all the complications that we have in our generation as well. We've got so many blended families. We've got so many divorced families.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what I read about and what I witness amongst my sphere of influence is that there is a lot of underlying guilt in parenting.
And it's difficult to compensate for that sometimes. And, you know, what I witness is that there's a lot of overcompensating then. Rather than being empowered, there's some overcompensation that happens, not in a particularly healthy way.
Mm-hmm. So what do we need to do to change that? Mm-hmm. What do you think we need to do to change that? You said to go back to more roles, more defined roles, and having it more parent-centered. If I could ask you to speak to just what exactly do you mean by parent-centered?
Well, I mean, it's just like in a workplace. I mean, you want to know who's doing what job, who's got what responsibilities, and you feel secure and you feel safe when you know that everybody's doing their job, right? And it's the same thing in a family. When you feel like the parents are leading, they're doing their job, they're following through, they're keeping their commitments, they're staying firm and fair, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're allowing mistakes to be opportunities for growth. They're modeling, you know, the appropriate behaviors. But they're, like I said, following through and doing their job as well.
And from my perspective as a leadership consultant and dialogue facilitator, you know, what I'm a strong advocate for is really building the community cores around our neighborhoods so that parents feel comfortable in communicating with one another. You know, because, you know, the topic that we're really looking at in this particular show is teens and tweens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, teens quite often are stepping out of our household and into our community. And the more we have that dialogue with other parents, the more we have that kind of community safety net, which we've lost in a lot of ways. So how can we create that? How can we create that that community dialogue with other parents in our schools so that we're really feeling that we're connected with them? And also deeper dialogue with our own children and their friends. And I think opening up those opportunities for communication can serve so well.
And connection, you know, that's another one of my favorite words. You know, we're talking about parenting as leadership and just the whole concept of community and connection, creating connections, right?
So how will we go about that in terms of creating connections? I can imagine online, for example, I know I've got a couple of my friends' kids on my Facebook page and things like that. So there have been times where I've let the parent know when there's been some things that are inappropriate. For example, one of their daughters, who's 10 years old, had one of the applications on there that was Lover of the Day, and it would pick a different boy in her class every day.
Right.
And so I brought it up to her mom because her mother wasn't on her Facebook. And so she was able to speak to her daughter and explain why it was inappropriate, which her daughter didn't understand exactly what the word lover exactly meant. And after that, the little girl actually spoke with me and was like, okay, I understand. Thank you. And actually said thanks, which I thought was lovely. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've taken us right into a really critical issue, haven't you, Caroline? You know, how do we lead our children in that realm where there is just no real rules yet?
No, not yet. We're making them, I guess.
Absolutely, and you know, and so that it's an ongoing discovery, isn't it?
It really is. We're going to have to take a really quick short break, but when we come back. I really want to talk about that a little bit more. We've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM CITR. We will be right back.
My name is Natasha. I am a robot now. I'm playing with my breast again. Nothing to do, nothing to do. Sometimes I listen to Misery Hour with Hans Close Wednesday at 11 before midnight. I don't think I like it.
And we are back in Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And up next is going to be Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour, who is a very sexy man to be miserable with. But if you're just joining us right now, I'm chatting with Laura Mack and Allison Jones. And we've been chatting about parenting and leadership. And we were just right before the break chatting about Facebook and different types of social media and with teens and tweens and everything in between, how to go about this in terms of leadership and how to do it when there's no rules. And we're just about to go on to that before we had the break. So, Laura, I'm going to turn it back to you if that's all right.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I was just having this flash of horror as I remembered my son's first introduction to sex on the internet when he was about 8 years old.
Eight?
And unbeknownst to me, he had gone over to a friend's house, and the older brother had access to the internet and thought it would be really cool to show these two little eight-year-old boys something that he had found on the internet that he found quite intriguing. And, you know, of course, my son thought this was really intriguing. And so when he came home, on the computer that was right in the kitchen, the family computer that, you know, everyone should be able to see, I happened to be in another part of the house, and he showed another little boy from across the street what he had been shown the day before. And, oh, my, now all of a sudden the neighborhood is in an explosion.
Oh, my gosh. That's the Clairol commercial gone bad. He told one friend, and he told one friend, and so on and so on,
oh,
so on and so
goodness.
Forth. So it's really careful about the community building in terms of just, wow.
Oh, and we meandered our way through that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it is unfortunately the way so many children are being introduced to sexuality is through some of the horrible things that are just so easily accessible on the net. And it's a huge concern for all parents.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a couple really good key parts about just some basics for safety, like keeping a family computer in the kitchen as much as possible, putting blockers on so that this certain things aren't available online and things. So you mentioned a few just good safety ones. I just wanted to reiterate that to our listeners as well.
Absolutely. Parental software. I'm a particularly strong advocate of that.
And I think the thing is, too, and when we're talking about parents as leaders, we have to remember that, you know, sometimes it's okay to play the leadership card in the sense that, you know, the parents are still, they're the ones that are generally paying for the internet connection and the computers and things. And there's times if children are really not able to handle them yet, you know, parents can say no. They can say no in a way that has dignity, and they can say no in a way that has respect. But it's not, you know, access to all of this isn't just a, you know, even given right. Like, it's something that if we have to pull back on, we can't. Right, because there's times when some children, they're just not able to manage it yet.
And I think that's really important in terms of just recognizing that. And one of the things you brought up in terms of leadership as well is, I think there's different styles of leadership, and that might be something we should talk about as well. Like, when is it important to be more gentle in terms of, and just being the tough guy in terms of, I'm almost like a good cop and bad cop, but it's probably not quite the way we're going to go. So I'm going to turn it back to you. Allison, if I could get you to speak with that first, if that's
well,
all right.
I think the thing is, and it's not that I don't mean to come off sounding, you know, too firm, but what I guess the point I want to get across is that I'm a strong believer, and Laura and I have talked about this before, and we've put some of it on the blog as well, is that children mature and grow through futilities. They grow through learning what doesn't work out, right? And as parents, it's a huge part of our job. If we don't teach them futilities at home, if we don't set limits and say, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, you got to trust me, but this just isn't good for you, then we're sending them out in the world very immature. To mature children, we need to set limits, and we need to hold those limits. Now, in saying that, I don't mean we need to be doing that in a way that's like, you know, exerting our power over everything all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean doing it in a thoughtful way and know why we're setting those limits and be able to talk to our children about it, but still hold firm when we really feel that it is something that is in their best interest or in their, you know, a safety issue or whatnot. And sometimes when we're talking about even, you know, this technology and the computer age and, you know, some of the previous mindset, like we do want to encourage autonomy and independence and whatnot, but we also have to realize when we're talking about, like, you know, that some of the things that are out there on the internet, it is a bit dangerous and it can be quite distressing for young children to see and have access to some of these images. And if you're quite visual images that you can't get out of your mind. And we, like, there's times we need to get ourselves involved.
That's really important. And one of the things you brought up about the images you can't get out of your mind, there was a study done a couple years ago about for college age kids, actually, in regards to Jenna Jameson, the porn star, where there were girls that were not actually going out on dates because they didn't feel their bodies were good enough because it didn't look like that. And then on the other end of the spectrum where guys didn't want to go out with the girls because they didn't see that they were as pretty as that. I had, like, that perception of it, which was actually horrified me when I heard that.
Well, that's the, you know, one of the things that we're really dealing with when we're talking about, you know, we were talking about Facebook earlier and whatnot, and girls are the ones that are really into Facebook, too.
Yes.
I mean, they're the ones that are much more addicted to social media, actually, and they, you know, they're a lot of girls are Photoshopping themselves and, you know, adjusting themselves to look what, you know, this external image and using their selves and their bodies as commodities, selling themselves as a brand, you know, as opposed to, they're not always, you know, it's not a development of their, you know, personality. It's this kind of image that's out there.
So how does that affect in the long term?
Well, I think what we're seeing, one of the things we're dealing with, and I know certainly within my practice and the team that I have at the practice as well, because we do a lot of specialties with children and youth, is that there is a lot of young girls really struggling with not a strong sense of self and pretty tied up in this image. And unfortunately, a lot of the piece with the, you know, the social media and Facebook and whatnot has, you know.
And sometimes that can come to tragic results as well, you know, when we talk about, you know, you've talked about one end of the pendulum swing, Caroline, where there is this, you know, withdrawal from social society because there's this, an expectation of you have to look a certain way. But then the pendulum swings all the way out to the other side, as Allison started to talk about, when we get into the whole sexting thing where teenagers are now sending images of themselves through their cell phones to others with sometimes tragic results. You know, and I'm sure you've heard about the, you know, the sad case of Jessie Logan, the Cincinnati girl, who actually hung herself after she had been harassed and bullied for months by girls who had received naked images of her that had been sent by a former boyfriend. You know, it's just how could that have been foreseen?
And like Laura and I spoke before, is that I don't want to, you know, create a bunch of fear in parents. It's not that, but I want to create awareness.
Okay.
And an awareness that we do need to stay connected and be monitoring what they're doing. But in saying that, in setting the limits, and I know I've been talking a lot about that, I also equally think it's important to be really paying attention to the relationship you have with your children. And, you know, really trying to understand the world through their eyes, deepening that sense of them feeling understood and known by you. Because if they do feel that you understand them, you know them, you are interested, you want to know what the world is like for them, they are going to be drawn back to you. They're going to be drawn to share. They're almost not going to be able to help themselves sometimes. And that's what we want. So it's really that balance between setting the limits, staying on top of things, knowing that we're in a leadership role, and we're also in a leadership role with relationship. We're holding the relationship. We're spending time. We're talking to them. We're listening to them. And we're really making a great effort for them to feel understood and known, because that will keep them coming back, and they will then accept our influence, right, rather than just reject our values.
And that so resonates with my leadership style, to take it back to a question that you had asked earlier, Caroline, about leadership styles. I think you're aware that the URL for our business website is followtheleader.ca. And we're all about mentorship. And that's one of the things that I've been really quite focused on in my own parenting, and something that I share with other parents, is that while I hold myself in a leadership role with my son, I'm also constantly looking at how can I be instilling leadership skills and values in him as well. And we talk about that regularly. One of the, you know, I've looked at various trainings that I can bring him through, even martial arts, for example, that allows him to be able to step into his own leadership. I've talked to him about situations. I know he's at an age where he's going to social gatherings and alcohol is involved. I know that. I do what I can to put my limits and my rules around that. But then I also talk to him about, well, what are you and your friends going to do if you see one of your teenage girlfriends, 15, 16 years old, and you know she's had too much to drink, and she's heading off down the hall with an older boy? What do you do? Do you step into a leadership role? You know, do you get help? What happens in those kind of situations? And so what happens if you see a friend heading out the door and you know that he's, the first time he's tried five beers and, oh my God, all of a sudden he's disappeared. Do you take a leadership role and make sure that you're looking out for him? Mm-hmm. Because these are situations that are arising in our teens' lives, and they need to know when it's important for them to step into a leadership role and take responsibility.
That's right, and one of the things, too, from that is we're looking to encourage that leadership, but also letting them know that we understand that they may make mistakes, right? And
that
mistakes are opportunities.
Okay.
They can learn, and we can talk to them about it, and we're not going to punish for the mistakes, right? Because that's what happens sometimes is we have our parental agenda, we want to guide them, and we want to influence them, but we also have to really tread carefully when they expose their mistakes to us so that we really can help them understand to learn. So maybe there's a time they didn't effectively do that, but if they could talk to us about it, they may be able to do it the next time.
So it's a matter of how, as parents, treating mistakes, maybe not as a mistake, but as you said, an opportunity. So then that way, it's a matter of how we deal with failure, which I can imagine how that would affect just in terms of, as an adult later on, that's going to really impact just our attitudes in regards to failure. Because I think in society as much, sometimes I think we still see failure as failure. And I think it's really, really important to change that in the way we teach our kids.
I wholeheartedly agree on that one.
What are some of the techniques in terms of leadership? Laura, you'd mentioned the other day that a Volunteer Vancouver Vantage Point had a course called Leaders of Tomorrow, and I know that's something in terms of getting them actively involved in the community, which might be something in terms of community building that you were talking about earlier, but as well you'd also mentioned in terms of a network. And what are some ways that we can instill some leadership qualities in our kids?
Oh, I think there's just all kinds of opportunities. You know, that's one of the places where I get really excited because I'm a strong advocate of volunteerism and community involvement. And, you know, just simple things like I've been taking my son into the Downtown East Side to do volunteer work since he was 8 years old. And giving him an opportunity to see where he can make a contribution. And I think any time you open up an opportunity for a child or a teenager to make a contribution, they're already starting to feel some leadership capacity. What would you think about that, Allison?
I was just about to
think. Yeah, no, I think I was, when you were speaking about that, I was thinking about how we encourage our children, and one of the things that we've been trying to do in our home is, you know, what can you contribute to, you know, every month, what can you contribute to the home? What can you contribute to the school? What can you contribute to the community? What's something you can do, right? And here, let's choose this. Like, let's choose what's a contribution, and having them looking at it on all those different levels. And the great thing about that is when we contribute something, you know, and even if it's, like, especially if it's been kind of hard work or a little bit difficult, we might even have mixed feelings about it, is that it really, those are the kind of things that build a strong sense of esteem and self. And that right there is the genesis for balancing some of this other stuff that I was talking about earlier with the almost a lack of sense of self with some of the children that are getting, you know, lost in the cyber world, right? With, you know, but if we can start to really give them a sense, hey, I matter, and my contribution, you know, in my home matters, it matters with my friends, it matters at my school, it matters in my community. I think that is one of the
that's one of the genesis of self-esteem and self-concept. You know, not somebody telling you, gee, you're great. It's about how you feel about yourself when you've contributed something.
That's really key. Self-esteem makes such a huge difference. We are going to take a really quick short break, and when we get back, we are going to continue this conversation. And you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And I forgot to mention right at the top of the hour, I thought Kids in America by Kim Wilde was entirely appropriate for this conversation, even though we're talking about kids in Canada, kids all over. We will be right back.
The AIDS Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the helpline is one of many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The helpline number is 604-696-4666 or contact us online at www.aidsvancouver.org.
And we are back in Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us now, we are talking to Allison Jones and Laura Mack about parenting as leadership journey. And we've been talking a lot before the break, especially about community, how we can instill leadership qualities to our kids, and as well just how we how in terms of failure and how we can take care of our kids in terms of building healthy self-esteem, which I think is a real key for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Healthy self-esteem, setting limits that are fair and firm, and really paying attention to the relationship you have with your children.
How is a best way to handle things? And I know each situation's different, but I know for myself, it's kind of funny. I'm going to date myself very badly. My mother used to actually hand every boy I dated, which I wasn't allowed to date till I was 16, a keychain with a quarter on it. And she'd actually tell them, my daughter's a virgin, and I expect her to stay that way. Here's a keychain with a quarter. If you want to have sex with her, take the quarter, find a payphone, and call her father and ask for permission.
That is a great story.
I know, nobody would believe it now with cell phones and everything else, but yeah, I lived through it. I used to dread bringing boys home because it was just really, really humiliating. So. They all got warned before I took them through the front door, but it was it was one of those things where it did traumatize me a little bit, but it's funny now. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, especially with Vancouver being a very multicultural city, in terms of just addressing with the different cultures in terms of just addressing dating and sexuality with youth, what would you suggest? And I know it depends on the culture too, but what are your thoughts? I'm going to ask Laura first, if that's okay.
Well, you know, and that's a really touchy one at times, isn't it? Because obviously, you know, any sort of recommendations that I'd be making in this particular conversation are really relevant to each individual situation. Mm-hmm. I keep coming back to the big thing for me, Caroline, is communication. I know personally of several situations where girls who are living in first-generation Canadian families who are having a very difficult time and having their parents understand the culture that they're growing up in have found a safe place to share some of their concerns, whether it be a school environment or whether it be the parent of a friend. And I think, you know, as parents, it's prudent for us to be really aware of who our children are associating with and where we can offer ourselves as a careful support to them when it may be necessary or needed.
That's also where, when we were talking about the relationship, too, that, you know, no matter what, you know, and different cultures are going to do things differently and there's going to be different ways of communicating, but if children feel, you know, emotionally secure in their home, that's the thing that's always going to draw them back.
and still allow the influence of the parent. And, you know, that's what most parents want. They want to be able to help pass on and help their children. You know, maybe they want their children to maybe learn from mistakes they've made in the past, the parents, so they want their child to have a different opportunity or not have to have some of the same struggles they've had or whatnot. Like, their intentions are good, right? Generally, they really are. And I think that's what's really important, too, is in dealing with multicultural issues, is that we honor all of those intentions, right? Which are really, like, parents want their children to grow up healthy and they want them to experience joy and have, you know, good things in their lives, right?
No, that's so true. Because, I mean, we want them to be loved and taken care of.
And just different cultures might come about that differently, right? But the intention is all very much the same, right? It's just there are certain things that are going to impact when you're, you know, when you're living in this culture. And we have, like I said, it's really out there in a way that some cultures might not have experienced in the same way.
And this is a weird thought, and I don't know what your thoughts are on this. At the top of the hour, we were chatting about we're in a digital age where our kids are leaders in ways in regards to social media that we're, you know, we keep trying to catch up to it, but because they're born and raised in it, it's different. And this is a weird thought, but just that it's almost like a separate language where it's almost like we're ESL in that sense.
I think that's well put, actually, that we're playing catch up. Like, I'm trying to learn from them what they're talking about.
And I think sometimes in the multicultural, maybe the same thing, perhaps, with that, where they're playing catch up too. So I can't help but wonder if maybe the internet might help eventually with that a little bit, in terms of some of those tools might be able to be other ways of communication. Because, Allison, I think you're right. It's communication is such a key thing.
Yeah, and I think the thing I would love parents to understand too is in the end the thing that's always going to, you know, there's going to be, like, if your children respect you, that has incredible value to it. So you need to, do what you say. You need to keep your agreements, and if you set a limit, be careful about the limits you set, because boy, if you set them, keep them, right? Like, don't overdo it, but know that when you do it, you know, you want to teach them that your word means something.
Right? Otherwise, they'll call us on it.
And they will, and they'll lose respect for us. And once they've lost respect for us, they don't listen to us in the same way. And sometimes then they'll really, if they really think we're being, we're the double standard or whatnot, then they're going to react against us. And then the other piece is really about relationship and how important it is for your child to feel understood. And sometimes we just have to suspend the parental agenda for a moment and really get into, okay, what is this, you know, what is it like for them? What's going on for them? And we can convey to them, I understand, I get this. I still am not letting you go and go to the sleepover because I haven't talked to the parents and I don't know those parents. But I understand your disappointment because it sounds like it's probably, you know, all your friends are going to be there. I get this is really disappointing to you, but I still don't feel it's safe and I can't say yes. Right? Like, you can convey both at the same time. They call it the double agent, right?
I like that.
Yeah. You know, it's like you have to set the limit, but you also, you know, help let them know that you can understand.
Well, and I, you know, Allison and I had talked about this in the preparation for one of our blogs, Caroline, is that in leading our teens in that way, it also helps them in dealing with the inevitable disappointments and futilities that they're going to encounter in their interpersonal relationships when we're not there to guide them, so that they have the tools available and they know that. You know, for the boy, they know that if the girl is saying no to them, it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to feel this disappointment in this moment in time, but I'm going to respect that boundary because I have been taught, I've learned that there is a boundary that I'm up against, and I can respect that.
Yes, and if they haven't been learning that at home, you know, the learning for everybody is so much harder out there, and the costs are much bigger. right? Like you learn that from the small futilities how to deal with the big futilities. You know, we learn from the small hurts how to deal with the big hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I always say that, you know, to parents, like one of my other things is I think sometimes we're over-parenting, but that's probably another issue, but I can talk to it. But I say, you know what, they have to get out there and scrape their knees and fall off their bikes and, you know, sometimes have little heartbreaks so that they don't, when they're grown up, you know, break their necks and become non-functional from heartbreaks.
Mm.
Right? They need to learn it when they're young, so they can deal with it when they're older. They're prepared. That's what we want. We want our, you know, I was teaching, and I was saying that I don't think as parents our job. As a therapist, and you know, one of the things I hear is parents are always saying to me, "I just want my child to be happy. I just want my children to be happy." Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, "Well, that's the wrong goal. That's not our job." And they often look at me like, "Allison, what are you, you know, talking about?" I said, "No, our goal is to grow our children up. It's not to make them happy. You know, life is hard. It's got disappointments and futilities. We want them to be able to respond to those in a way that has skills and is equipped, because if we're sending them out there to think they're going to be happy, you know, they're just going to be disappointed. We're going to have moments of joy, and I hope they can participate and really embrace those great moments of joy.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're trying to set the goal as happy, they're going to be disappointed and we're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I think happiness isn't something to reach for in that, because it's an emotion.
It comes and it goes, like every other emotion.
Yeah.
It's not a state that you, you know, achieve and stay at.
Life would be pretty boring, actually, if we were there all the time.
Like Christmas every day. We couldn't handle it after a while. Right?
It's so true. I have a weird question for you. And it's one, actually, my boyfriend and I have actually been debating about, so I'd love to have an answer on this one. My thoughts in terms of parenting, and we're not parents at this stage of our relationship, but we'd like to be at someday. My thoughts have always been that, and I was curious in terms of the parent-centered that you'd mentioned, both of you have mentioned earlier, in regards to relationships, where should the focus still be where having the relationship with your spouse and as well as that having a healthy relationship with your child? Where,
can you help me?
Sorry, let me
more
say what, that more.
Yeah.
Basically, where instead of it being all about the child, where it's still about the relationship, so you still have your date nights, you still have that in terms of having a happy, healthy relationship. Because I always thought in terms of children, because they model, and I still remember things with my parents, like, you know, silly things that my dad would do that were really, really romantic to my mom. So, and it helped me just in terms of my own perspective as to relationships as a, like, present day.
Yeah.
For good and for bad, but as anything is. But I was just curious about that, where, and I'm not saying forget that you have a child, but making sure that you're still focusing on the marriage, where it's still the me and you equals us.
Well, I believe it's, like I said, I think that's really important in so many ways. Like, so many parents get so caught up in parenting, they forget to nurture their relationship.
Mm.
And, you know, I see this a lot, right, in my practice a lot. And by, you know, sometimes it gets to the point where the relationship is not very vital anymore, or it's become all about the kids. And frankly, that's too much for the kids to carry on their shoulders.
That's what I thought.
The parental relationship on their shoulders is not the place for it. It's, you know, it needs to be between the adults, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important. And it's important for kids to see adults making each other a priority.
Hmm.
Would you agree, Laura?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to ask. Sorry, Laura, I interrupted you there. What were your thoughts in regards to that as well?
No, I was, when you asked the question, Caroline, I was thinking this really is a family therapist question more so than a leadership question, but my own personal opinion is it's absolutely necessary. You know, having been through witnessing a lot of family breakups, quite often what I've witnessed in my own sphere is that you can track it back to them not seeing good parental modeling themselves. So it's I just think it's so important to have that that healthy bond for children to grow up in. Because, again, you know, this is one of the things that I believe Allison and I have talked about before as well, is then the kids feel safe.
Hmm.
Absolutely. You know, and that's what I was, you know, we were referring to earlier, too, when we were talking about being, in many ways, parent-centered or adult-centered sometimes, is that it's good for children, it's, you know, not to be attended to all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for them to see that, say to them, you need to wait, I need to finish this conversation. You know, I'm talking to your dad right now, right? Or I'm attending here, not to you all the time, and you need to wait, because
mm-hmm.
that's the real world. And so if they can see that, oh, this isn't so child-centered, you know, that each time I move that, you know, the parent jumps to attend to me, that's not actually good for people. It's good for them to wait while the adults finish their conversations, or for them to witness the adults showing respect and affection and caring and enjoyment with each other.
Hmm.
And that it doesn't all have to be about them. Right? You know, like, it really doesn't. And that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's good to just witness a relationship, right? Just
mm-hmm.
to watch it and witness it, rather than have to be right there and have it all about them.
Mm-hmm. So what's next for you two in terms of well, we've got the Facebook page so far, and so what's next? Because I imagine in September there'll hopefully be some talks and things like that that we can...
Well, yeah, the relationship with Allison and I is absolutely evolving, and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we're from my perspective, what I know we really want to be doing is inviting other parents into the dialogue, because
mm-hmm.
this isn't just a conversation between Allison and I and now you. So we really want to invite people to come and visit us and read the blog, and the blog can be accessed right now at the URL of lauramack.wordpress.com. But also you can find us on Facebook as Parenting as a Leadership Journey, and the blog gets posted there every couple of weeks at the minimum, and through Twitter at Parent as Leader. And at Parent as Leader, I'm also sharing different research that I've been coming up with that's relevant on this topic as well. But we absolutely want to be hearing from parents. And as we move into the fall, Allison and I have been talking about getting a series of talks and dialogues together so that we can get parents involved more live. So we'll want you to stay tuned for that.
And I want to have you guys back on for that.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Well, the thing with, I think, with Laura and I that we've discovered is, you know, this shared passion that we have, but how it's just, it is really... It just feels so exciting, the kind of endless possibilities, that the endless conversations, the excitement to, because this touches on so many different areas, right? That it's,
mm-hmm.
we're just really excited to be, you know, exploring it more, talking about it more, sharing some of our perspectives, maybe a little bit of our wisdom, and then, you know, being open to hearing what other people have to contribute and say, and what their feelings are about it.
So, in other words, building a community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Right, and so it just you know, it just feels exciting to think of the possibilities that
it's a little bit like the parenting journey itself. We have
yeah.
our hopes and dreams, but we don't know exactly what's around the corner yet.
That's so well put. That's really true, right? But you know, it's exciting. Whatever's around the corner, we can feel is really exciting.
Really exciting,
and it feels good. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I'm really loving about this is that, you know, Allison and I found each other with this, like, shared passion around this phrase, which for us represents a philosophy of parenting that resonates for both of us. And what I'm finding is that as I speak this phrase into more and more gatherings and into more and more environments, the response has been enormous.
Mm.
You know, I've got people that I'm communicating with right now from all around the world through social media, because I've been posting various conversations through LinkedIn and through Facebook, through the leadership community, because I'm very active with the International Leadership Association, and I'll be at the Boston conference, and so some of the researchers in the community have been coming back to me too and sending me various articles that are starting to emerge. So I'm hoping that we can actually inspire some specific research in this area as well, and start, you know, really shifting some of the paradigm in that area.
That sounds fantastic.
It is, and
there you go. There's a lofty hope.
Well, and why not, right? And I'm, you know, in a position where it's actually really exciting, because having connected with Laura on this, and Laura is helping me sort of get even more connected with through some of her business consultation with you know, using the social media and using different things and getting out there and connecting with all these people, right? Because sometimes I'm pretty busy in my practice, but she's helping me get my Facebook page set up in the practice and whatnot.
And coming on your show, Caroline.
No, it's great. And getting out there and talking about these things, right? And and I, like I said, the kind of future conversations are really exciting, whatever's coming around the corner.
And you've got a lot on that blog, Laura. I applaud you with it. Everything from, you've mentioned things like dating abuse, among other things. Like, you've had so many different blogs, because I was going through them the other day, and I was like, wow, there's so much stuff here. So you can write a book.
That's probably one of the things that's around the corner.
Maybe around the corner, right, Laura? Right. And it's a lot of dialogue to have here, right? A lot of dialogues to open.
And I guess that's one of the things for parents to realize, too, is it's, you know, there's those books, What to Expect When You're Expecting, but it's like there's not really a manual that has it exact, and each situation's different. But as you were mentioning, just instilling really good values, communication, and just being strong. And building that community and getting them involved in fostering healthy self-esteem as much as it's humanly possible.
You know, I often say to parents that I work with, I often say, you know, it's developing good sea legs, right? You know, right? It's like developing that strength in those sea legs to kind of deal with some of the things that are coming, but have a balance.
Balance is really key.
As a boater, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yes, exactly, right? You know,
What? This is really interesting, too, that you would mention that, because, you know, the Google phrase that has landed more people on our blog, Allison, has been storm clouds at sea.
Oh, really?
Right. Isn't that interesting?
I see that search phrase show up at least 5 to 10 times a week that brings people to, very interesting.
Well, there we go. You see? It's all connected, right?
It really is.
Definitely.
What would you two like in, let's say, 10 years from now, if you could wave your magic wand, and what would you like to see the journey for parents? Like, would you like to see it in schools? What would you like to see?
That's a great question. I mean, I would, the way I guess it, my vision, if I see it, is that this is, it's, the word that comes to mind is almost like a renaissance of parenting, right? But it's sort of like getting back, that parents really feel comfortable talking with each other, having that community around them, being able to expose our mistakes, learn from them in the same way that we're trying to help our children, and that, you know, we really are welcoming and comfortable and learning in these roles.
Well, I try to imagine looking 10 years out. You know, I just flash back 10 years. Flashing back 10 years, could we possibly have imagined what the internet would have turned our world into?
No.
And so looking ahead 10 years, it's almost mind-boggling. You know, I mean, Caroline, you know I do business planning, and there are very few entrepreneurial clients that I'm working with these days that can bring themselves to plan much more than 2 or 3 years ahead, because things are changing so quickly.
That's so true.
So, you know, what I wish for the most when I look a decade down the road, and I would be imagining that I've got a 24-and-a-half-year-old vibrant young son who is thriving in his life and is contributing to society, that I want to know that he is looking forward to raising children himself, that he is looking around him at the world and going, this looks like a good place to bring up a kid.
Yeah, that's a lovely image, Laura. I like that. right? Feeling good about it. I mean, and not in a Pollyanna way, in a realistic way, but
yeah.
here, but in that kind of, you know, here's part of what I can contribute to this world, and it is a good place.
Mm-hmm.
And even with these challenges that we have, and like, and that's why earlier I was saying, too, it's not about being negative or being down on technology or anything like that. It's about being aware and then thinking. I still believe the human spirit is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I call myself, I'm not idealistic. I call myself a realistic optimist, right?
I like that.
You know, a realistic optimist, right? Like that idea, I'm always optimistic, but I also am aware of the challenges that we have. And it feels kind of actually good to make some headway in them, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, ignore them, to kind of accept that they're there, and then what can we do? How can we make things better, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ladies, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, it's been just great, and I look forward to continuing this conversation with you, Caroline, in the years to come as you become a parent.
Thank you. And hopefully that won't be when I have you guys on again, hopefully in September,
yeah.
because I know we touched on it lately,
yeah.
but I'm not quite
before
ready
then.
Yet. But I'm really, really glad to have you on the show, and I'm looking forward to reading more blogs. And listeners, that's lauramack.wordpress.com. And Allison, do you want to just mention
yes.
the website as well for your practice?
Sure. If people would like to learn a little bit more about my clinic, and we're on the North Shore, but it's quite a large clinic, a team of specialists around a lot of these issues, it's www.allisonjones.ca.
Thank you so much.
So Allisonjones.
I had to double check that actually earlier.
Yeah. yeah. And .ca. Mm-hmm.
No, thank you so much, both of you. That was lovely. And Laura, if you just want to really quickly as well with Odyssey as well, just plug followtheleader.ca.
Followtheleader.ca, yes.
Perfect.
And come and find out everything you need to know about leadership.
That sounds wonderful. You guys, thank you so much for being on the show, and I can't wait to have you back on again. And I know I'll be chatting to you before then, which is awesome. And up next is Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour, which he is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He will be guiding you through the wee hours with his super hot voice and his ambient music. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Ever thought about volunteering with Big Sisters? Maybe now is the time. Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland provides girls aged 7 to 17 with a champion, a mentor who's there to simply be their friend and cheer them on. Become a study buddy tutor and spend 1 hour a week helping your little sister learn to love school. Or become a Big Sister and spend 3 fun hours a week just hanging out with your little sister. If you're age 19 or older, please visit bigsisters.bc.ca to find out more. Maybe now.